Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter number 25. The book of Exodus and chapter number 25. We're currently in a series of walking down the tabernacle and exploring the tabernacle. We've already explained where they got the materials. We saw the people that God placed to build an artifice, the tabernacle. We've started to see the structure of it, how it was built, the coverings. We saw the courtyard and the gate, how that was put together. We started to walk through the courtyard and come to the first piece of furniture, which was the brazen altar, which shows that Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. We then come to the brazen laver, which showed that even though we may be saved, we still need to be clean to stay close to God. Then we walked actually into the tabernacle. The first piece of furniture we see when we walk into the tabernacle to the left is going to be the golden candlestick that provided the light for the entire tabernacle. It was its only light source. And we talked about the light and that we're supposed to be a reflection of the light. Now we come to the next piece of furniture on the right-hand side, the table of showbread. And we're going to find that listed in the book of Exodus, chapter number 25. The book of Exodus, chapter 25. And if you don't mind, let's look and see this. And once again, as I read it out loud, perhaps you'd like to see it put together on the screen. But let's see this picture here of the table of showbread. Look with me if you don't mind. The book of Exodus, chapter 25, starting at verse number 23. And thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall all the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about it. And thou shalt make it unto a border of a handbreadth round about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make it for 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 quarters that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for the places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, the spoons thereof, and the covers thereof, and the bowls thereof, to cover withal. And of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always. And with this, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, will you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Exodus in chapter number 25. It's supposed to be Exodus 25 and verse 30, where it says, table showbread. And with this, we're going to see the table of showbread. Exodus 25 and verse 30, the table of showbread. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy, that you would help us now as we explore this piece of furniture, and that you would just help open up our minds, help us to see the picture and see how it relates to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you again. Give me wisdom and discernment and power beyond myself even now. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go and explore the table of showbread. We see it mentioned here at Exodus 25. Let's learn a little bit more about this table and what it is meant for. The table of showbread is going to be there on the right-hand side as you enter into the tabernacle. And it has its place where the priest would be able to serve in part of their ministration. Now, the table of showbread was made out of shittim or acacia wood, and it was overlaid with gold. Now, we see that with a lot of the pieces of furniture, that this was a special way of keeping it fireproof and keeping it preserved, of having that wood overlaid with gold, which once again is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had his humanity and he had his divinity. The table had a crown of gold around its edge, which was as wide as a man's hand. So again, this is supposed to be like a little border so you could put stuff inside of it so it doesn't slide off the table. Just a practical thing that looked very nice. A ring of gold was put on the four legs for the purpose of carrying it. So again, they had to carry this by hand. You wanted to make sure that you were able to carry it and to make sure that it was, the ring was placed in such a way to distribute its weight while you were carrying it. Remember, these things had to last for a long, long, long time. The carrying poles were made out of shittim wood, and they were overlaid with gold. And it had a crown, a golden crown or molding around the outer edge to keep the loaves of bread from falling from the ground and being defiled. That's the one thing you want to do. Remember, they had dirt floors, so the 5-second rule doesn't apply there. You don't want anything falling on the dirt floor. And it would be defiled. You'd have to start all over, make some. So again, it was made to protect them. Also made out of pure gold was the dishes. So it had different dishes. So it would sit on a platter, spoons, covers, pitchers, and bowls. Now, all of these were made for the purpose of making sure that the table of showbread and the bread was put together. By the way, this is the stuff that Nebuchadnezzar stole later on, and then Belshazzar, when he was throwing his party, brought all these things out and was having his party too. So the Bible makes mention of it, and then we see it pop up later. It's one of those small things that you don't normally pay attention to, but these were very important for the Lord, that God had made all of these things. And they were supposed to be set aside for his use and his use only. The measurements of the table of showbread, for those who like those type of things, was 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. So again, it gave you a little dimensions of the table. Now, on the table of showbread, the priest placed 6 loaves of bread, 6 different loaves placed into 2 different stacks, and they were made from fine flour. So again, we get an idea. Here's a picture of kind of what it would look like when they would set it up. The Bible speaks about this, the cakes that were made. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenths deals shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table, this table of showbread, before the Lord. Now, these were set aside for God's use. And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat in the holy place, for it is the most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. Now, again, these were set aside for God and for display. And we're going to talk about what they meant in a second. But in a practical sense, when they were done, after they were displayed, this is what the priest would eat. This would be part of their food. So you had to do something with it instead of just letting it waste. It would be used for God. Now, again, God is not going to chew them up. He's not going to eat them. It was there to set aside and be a picture. Remember, this is all a picture of the Lord. And then afterwards, they were allowed to use this picture and be able to eat with it. Now, it's going to show some other things too. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial. Frankincense was a special herb. Remember, they brought it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the wise men did. It was a special herb that was meant for usually funerals. And it was very costly. And so again, it was to show a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be a bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Now, we're going to get into this in just a moment, but here it's saying that every Sabbath they would set up the bread, brand new bread every week. And this was to be a picture of the covenant. Well, what covenant? Well, the idea is that God wanted to have fellowship with man. Now, we as people, where do we usually have our best fellowship at? Meals. And so this was supposed to be a type of thing to show that God wanted to have fellowship. If you like someone, you would have meals with them. You would fellowship with them. You would spend that time. You weren't trying to be in a hurry. It'd be a time of fellowship together. This is what it was. There was a lot of representations here, but God wanted to be close with the people. Close enough that you wanted to spend time with them. Now, we all have people that we love because they're family, but we don't want to go on vacation with them. God wants to spend time with us. And this, again, was supposed to be that picture, this covenant that God wanted to be with his people. Wine was placed on the altar with the bread. And again, it was again to show this meal, this picture, that this fellowship, that you're just not eating dry bread, you're enjoying yourself and have something to drink with it, this grape juice that went with it. That's what that wine was there. So let's show the purpose of the table of showbread. There were 12 loaves stacked in two columns of six. So they would make the bread, they would have 12 of them and stack them up in two rows of six. So there was multiplication there for those of you who are learning that. These loaves represented the 12 tribes of Israel that God wanted to have fellowship with his people and had representation of the people there in this picture. The bread was flavored with frankincense. The table with the loaves was a continual reminder of the everlasting covenant between God and the children of Israel, that God wants to be with his people, that God had called the people to himself, and that God wanted to be among them. God wants to have fellowship with them. In the covenant, God promised to be God, Israel's God and king. He wants to be among them. He wants to be with them. He wants to be their God. He wants to be their king. He wants them to be his, that's a personal possessive, his people. Israel promised to be faithful to God and obedient to his commandments. So this was the covenant. Remember, during the Ten Commandments, when God spoke them out loud, the people said, okay, we'll do that. A little bit later, 26, I think it was, maybe a little bit earlier, forgive me for not memorizing the chapter, Moses calls the elders of the people and kind of repeats things. And they said, we agree, God will be our God and we will be his people. The idea is that they made a covenant, an agreement together. Now, this is what God wants with us. God wants to be our God, but we need to agree to be his people. That we're devoted to him, not to anything else. We're his and his alone. And that God wants to be with us. He wants to fellowship. He just doesn't want to say, all right, you're my people. I'll see you some other time. God says, I want to be personally intimate with you. I want to be close to you. I want to fellowship with us. I want us to enjoy time together. There are so many people who don't enjoy time with God. God wants to enjoy time with you. Now, fresh bread was placed there every Sabbath day as a memorial of God's provision of food. Now, remember, in the wilderness wanderings, there was no Walmart. They didn't even have Quick Trips. So where did they get their food? I mean, they were supposed to bake cakes, bread every day. They live out in the desert. They're wandering, so they don't have crops. They're not farmers. Where do they get their food? Well, remember that God is raining down manna every day. And they would gather up this manna, and from this bread, the flakes that came from heaven, they would make bread for themselves to eat. These cakes are made out of manna that God would provide every day except for the Sabbath day. This, again, was to be a constant reminder, God provided this food. God gave us this. We didn't come up with it ourselves. We didn't even work for it. We didn't buy it. God provided. And again, this is what God wants to do for us. God wants to provide for us because he's our God. He wants to lead us because he's our king. He wants us to be dependent upon him. One of our problems as American Christians is that we're not dependent on God. He's not our God. He's not our king. He's not our provider. Let me give an example. Most of you, when you exit out of this building, are not going to go somewhere and go to say, God, I'm hungry and I have nothing to eat. I'm going to starve unless you give me something. And so I'm going to wait right here until you provide. Most of you, that's not your game plan. Most of your game plan, you're already thinking about right now. Am I going to McDonald's? Am I getting a Whopper? Am I frying up the grill? Are we having leftovers? What are we going to eat? I mean, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to get to the restaurant and you're not going to say, well, God, I have no way to pay for this. Right? You already, before you get to the restaurant, you already have in mind, well, this is how much we have in the bank. This is what we could do. I got money on me in hand. You're planning on answering your own needs. Now, we know that there's nothing necessarily wrong with that in our society, what we have. But one thing that it does do, it makes us less dependent on God. God wants to be our God and our King. And he wants us to depend upon him for his provision. He wants to be that needed. God wants to be needed. Most of the time, we don't need God until we really need him. And then we say our prayer and then God takes it and then we go ahead and move on our lives. We don't need God that often, but God wants to be our God and our King, and he wants us to need him. Now, the bread was eaten by the priest, as we had said before. This was a time where the priests gathered together in fellowship with the common purpose of fellowshipping over bread. So even when the priest, when they're eating it, they're showing fellowship together. Some says that's why God's Baptist, because, you know, you could see him having fried chicken up in heaven, mashed potatoes, and us just having a good time of fellowship afterwards. See, Baptist people like to eat. Praise the Lord. Well, God has designed it. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with each other. And meal times is a common time for us to fellowship and enjoy each other's company and to talk with each other. And so God had even designed it so the priest afterwards, they are still showing this picture of fellowship. They weren't supposed to take the bread and then go eat it in the corner. It was meant to be enjoyed together in fellowship. God desires to have fellowship with us. It's a picture that the saints need fellowship one with another, the common basis of Christ. What is one of the benefits of coming to church? Fellowship. We get to enjoy each other and have the common bond of Jesus Christ that we can now relate with each other with. Fellowship is important. It's one of the things you don't get over Zoom and the internet is that you miss that fellowship. It's better to have fellowship in person. Which now brings us to the person. How does this point to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus is the bread of life, and his death and resurrection provide the believers with eternal life. We're thankful that our Jesus provided that for us. He's the bread of life. We could live forever because of that bread that was given to us. Jesus said that anyone who believes in him will never hunger or thirst for spiritual nourishment again. I'm thankful that he saves us and we have a well spring of water inside of us that will never run dry. That we could always have that spiritual nourishment that he's provided for us and it will never run dry. Praise the Lord. Jesus said unto them in John chapter 6, 35, I am. Remember that I am statements that Jesus says in John is very important. He's declaring I'm the self-sufficient one. I'm the Jehovah. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He meets our every need because he is that everlasting bread. Good. Now, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he told his disciples that they're to remember him and his sacrifice every time they eat the bread and drink from the cup. So even in the Lord's Supper, what are we doing? We're fellowshipping. Now, we're not there to eat a meal, but even over some bread and some juice, we are fellowshipping and remembering together about what our Jesus did. So even that element of fellowship is meant to be there in the New Testament. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, may I remind you that they were not actually eating the body of Jesus? They were not cannibals. And we don't practice that now. Jesus said that his body is the bread from heaven that provides all believers with eternal life. That is what we believe in. John chapter 6, 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I'm so thankful that God provided bread for those Old Testament saints wandering in the wilderness, which they made that manna, that bread in the table show bread. Jesus continues and says, and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. I'm thankful that our God is able to provide for us. So what do we do with this? Well, first of all, how's your fellowship with the Lord? Do you know for sure that you have eternal life, that you have salvation, that you have this fulfillment? God wants to give it to you and he wants to provide it for you. He's done all the work. All you have to do is accept that free gift. With that, God wants to be your God and your King, and he wants you to be dependent upon him, and that you can have all of your spiritual needs met because of what the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the idea of fellowship. Jesus wants to have fellowship with you, close fellowship with him. Would you be comfortable eating a meal with Jesus? Or would you just quietly just kind of, I don't know what to talk about. I was dealing with a young man the other day. He was explaining to me that he had a hard time communicating with people. I said, well, let's start with the first question. How's your communication with God? Can you talk to God? Can you tell him anything? Or are you afraid of God and afraid of telling him things? You know, that's where we start. God wants to be so close to you that you can tell him anything. He wants to be so close to you that even if you mess up, it's not like, oh no, I got to hide this from Dad. It should be, oh no, I messed up. I need to go tell my Father. He wants to be so close to you that you could say, God, I'm scared. God, I have a need. God, I need help. Do you know what the most answered prayer in the Bible is? Help me. Help me. The most answered prayer in all the Bibles, help me. I got a series on that, you know, in about 10 years. Help me. Help me. You know, that's a simple prayer, but that's something that a lot of us can do on. Do you feel so comfortable you could go to God and say, God, help me? Or do you feel like before I talk to God, I got to get this fixed and got to take care of this? Is there a lot of junk in between you and God? Can you have fellowship? Can you just talk to him and say, hey, God, how's your day? I don't need anything. I'm just checking on you. What's going on? Anything I need to know about? Just talk to him. Spend time with him. God wants to have sweet fellowship with you all the time. I'm thankful that sweet fellowship doesn't mean that you have to bring an organ with you and that da da da. That you don't need to make sweet offerings to him. You could talk to him anytime you want. And God wants to have sweet fellowship with you. God wants to be close to you. John chapter 6 and verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus is this one who gives us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. Do you know what God says over and over, Jesus says over and over about the Christian life? The much more. God wants us to have much more than this. So many people are living such a stagnant, mediocre life. They're just surviving. God didn't want that for us. He wants us to have the much more. All throughout the gospel records and even into the epistles, you'll see that phrase, much more. He wants to give us much more than this. We are so satisfied with a bare minimum. And God wants to give us much more than this. And we can have it if we want it. We just have to come to him. We have a Father who wants to give us good gifts and provide for us. We just have to go and fellowship and hang out with Him, spend time with Him. So with this, we see the table of showbread. The table of showbread is there to show that Jesus is the one who sustains us. Jesus is the one who supplies our every need. That Jesus is the one that wants to have fellowship with us and wants us to be close to Him and wants us to desire to spend time with Him. So the question for you, have you been spending time with Him? When's the last time you just had a good session of fellowship with God? Or has it been busy? Like, hey God, how you doing? See you, I'll talk to you later. I'm too busy for you. Oh, I'll get back to you later. When's the last time you just had a good, not rushed session with God in fellowship? If it's been a while, maybe you need to set an appointment. And then you, on purpose, spend time just spending with God. Sing songs with Him. Do you know that God likes to sing? And He even likes you singing. Just fellowship with Him. Sing songs. Rejoice over Him. Just talk with Him. Just brain thing in my head. What if you just had a meal with Him? Just you and God and just ate together and just talked with Him just like you would? That may not work, but I was just brainstorming. I'm like, I want to experiment with that. You know, just the idea, I just want to fellowship with, just talk to Him over a meal. You know, we miss those meals sometimes in our families, to have that fellowship, to be able to have that joint together. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.